The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to the Sato Karate On Air Dojo, your community karate club that has been part of the Nelson and the Top of the South for 50 years. Introducing hundreds of people to the benefits of Sato Karate through dojos located in Nelson, Stoke, Richmond, Motueka, Blenheim, and beyond. My name's Eric, and in our on-air dojo, I'll be talking with the people that have helped make it such a remarkable place to learn Sato Karate. Today, it is my privilege to be speaking with the head instructor of the Blenheim Dojo, Junshihan Eric Hughes. Welcome, Junshihan Eric.
Us, Seishan Aaron.
Us.
And also, yes, we have Seishan Aaron in the studio as well. So warm welcome to Seishan Aaron.
Us, thank you, Eric. And Junshihan.
So the Blenheim Dojo, it's been running for over 40 years, which is a remarkable achievement in itself. So when did you start your training and what got you hooked on Sato Karate?
Well, started training back in about 1974, and Kyokushin was held at our local college at lunchtimes. So a gentleman named Keith Reed there, who was a green belt in Kyokushin, and he trained under, I believe his title now is Hunchy Doug Holloway from Christchurch. Classes were fairly full on for a scrawny little kid, and sparring starting on sort of the first day. So there was a bit of blood on the floor from the big boys. So it was certainly an eye-opener to the martial arts on me. Thank God we've changed a little bit since then, a bit more structure. And then returned to karate back in about 1985, so sort of coming up 40 years, which is obviously quite a big commitment for myself, but also probably for my family that doesn't see me at different times of the night and things over that long period of time. But as far as the Blenheim Dojo, and we know that we have the 50 years of Sato Karate Nelson, Ikahanchi's Dojo coming up this year. The Blenheim Dojo started in the early 70s as well as Kyokushin Dojo by brown belt Brendan, I think his name was. And in about 1974, a couple of Shodans arrived from Wellington, Ron and Trish Cullum, who trained under John Jarvis, or Sensei John Jarvis, who I believe Seishan Aaron travelled to Japan with Ikahanchi Andy at the time.
Yeah, awesome.
And they did a lot of intensive training over there. And Ron was, during his time here, was promoted to Nidan by Ikahanchi Renzi and Ikahanchi Andy. And then upon Ron and Trish leaving Blenheim to go north, Junshihan Andrew was a Shodan at the time. He took up running the dojo here in Blenheim. And over the years, we moved from the Riverlands Hall, which is slightly out of town, into town, into the Senior Citizens Hall. And we also joke that we're all getting a bit older, so we need to go there. And then when Junshihan Andy moved away from the region, I took up in 2009 the running of the dojo along with Junshihan Brian, Benjamin, Koshi Jackie, and a good amount of Blenheim black belts that give us a lot of support in that area. And there's a few familiar names have trained there. Junshihan Nerali Sullivan used to live in Blenheim and trained and took our children's classes. I think that probably drained her a bit sometimes, but And Junshihan Peter McDonald was with us for a year or two here as well from Christchurch. So we're quite lucky, and Blenheim being where it is, we get a lot of people travelling through, so that's really good.
Yeah, that's a lot of names, a lot of history that you just mentioned in that short space, which shows just the integration of the Blenheim Dojo with Sato in general. So that was amazing. So what is it? What's part of the longevity, do you think, of Sato Karate to you in particular and the Blenheim region? What has it brought for you?
Well, I think for me, I think your focus changes as you go through your training. You know, it's all about you and what you can do and how you can do better. And the special thing for me about Sato is the way that Kaicho's put the syllabus together is you don't learn it all at once, and there's always something to go and try and achieve at each of the steps along the way, which gives you a real sense of purpose. And I sort of do thrive on challenges. So for me, it was a real carrot at the end of it each time, and I moved through that. But as you're training, you get more senior in grades, and I sort of try and instill it in the senior students. It's about giving back as well, looking behind you and see where you've come from. Those white belts, they're probably training the hardest in the whole class. Their heads are spinning, and I think it's that giving back you get as much enjoyment out of as you do training yourself.
Oh, that's very good. Actually, Junshan, that's, I think, a really good point. I was just thinking about that, you know, which belt works, is challenged the most, it works the hardest. And, you know, it's probably fair to say the white belt, because you're coming into a new environment with new protocols, new learnings, new challenges, new people, and new things that, you know, you don't understand. And, you know, it's a big call to, you know, do a kata as a white belt. As I saw on Saturday, we have a white belt just doing a kata by themselves in the dojo, and it's awesome to see the support that they get as they, you know, they work through the technique. And that's one thing that really inspires me, and it's no different in the Blenheim Dojo, that support that allows people to better themselves, challenge themselves, but feel like they're doing it in a safe environment.
Yeah, I think we will all have seen the mother and the child, or the dad and the child, that come in and they push the child forward and the child runs behind their leg as soon as everyone else's. And and sometimes mum and dad are out there with them, but to see them, their growth through their karate practice. We've seen so many great young karateka that have stood in front of us about to go for their Shodan promotion. Nice. And you remember back to them hiding behind mum and dad, and they're standing up there and telling you how well they're doing at school, and all those things that come along with a healthy body and a healthy mind sort of thing, and the strong, confident people. It's inspiring. It's really great.
So when you started out, you mentioned, you know, there might be, it was going back a few years, but there was, you know, the occasional spots of blood on the floor, and it was all a bit different to what it is now. But when you joined, what was something that sparked your connection, that was like, you know, this is the favorite part of the martial art that you're learning?
I think we're pretty lucky, and you know, it was Karate Kid movie just come out, I think, in the 80s, so there were so many people going down there to learn to look after themselves against the baddies. And I really enjoyed kata. I suppose most of all, I sort of enjoyed the energy that came from the class. I don't know, you've all trained probably by yourselves. It's pretty hard to train on your own, but you get in a group of like-minded people that are kicking and punching, it makes your energy rise, and you tend to give a little bit more each time. You know, Hanchi used to say, "Eek Hanchi," you know, Kiai meant combined energy, and that Kiai and just lifts everybody. And I think that for me, that was a real special time.
And so now, you know, these years down the track as a head instructor, so what do you hope to instill in your students? What do you, I suppose, focus on in part of your teachings?
I think, say, to karate, I suppose we're trying to instill in the students sort of respect. You know, aren't you? Really big on respect, and I think that a massive piece that we need. You know, I think this world's very lacking in that in a lot of ways. But respect for themselves and others, self-discipline and focus, that sort of non-quitting spirit, but with a gentleness and a sort of an inner strength and ability to take on challenges, those opportunities to grow. We know some things don't make us grow too much, but, you know, looking forward, you think about our katas and the names of those, they're not about kick them, smash them or anything like that. It's all about peace and harmony, pure heart, calmer than the storm, and all those things have got a real genuine meaning to them, to grow people and be better people. You know, we're just sort of in the practice of making better humans, I think I often say. So, and that are going to go out into the community and be those special people we want them to be.
That is awesome. We're in the process of making better humans.
We hope so, don't we, Sasha?
I might just sort of pocket that wee statement there myself, because I think that is a really good reflection of what it's like in the atmosphere of the dojo. And so thinking about the way, what are some of the memories regarding Eiko Hanchi Andy's delivery and teachings, and how have, given your own style, what can you see from Eiko Hanchi Andy, Andy's voice, Andy's expectations come through?
Eiko, as we know, is a pretty special person, a great teacher, and to me a great friend outside of the dojo as well. You know, he supported myself in the Blenheim Dojo as I transitioned into the role I had, and also Josh and Brian and the likes. You know, we all had very special connections with him, and right through to I really miss him. He'd call me at work and say, "What's up? You know, how's the dojo going?" And been fishing, you know, and we'd talk about our grandkids, and he was just a great man with great mana and a very special person. I think as much as you hear yourself, and when things your mum and dad used to say sort of thing, you'd hear yourself repeating things that obviously learnings that you got from Eko Hanchi. Every time you trained with him in dojo, you'd take away a technique or some way of doing something better, or a lot of time just listening to him, and you'd take away a little nugget of gold, you know, that nice. You can, like you say, put in your pocket or in your tool bag and to use later. The one that comes to mind is just that karate, Sato Karate begins and ends with respect. We've all heard that 100 times, and we talk about that respect thing, which is something that this world needs. Nice. And probably ego is our enemy. Archie used to talk at length about ego sometimes, and he used to say that pretty much if we get into class and we're taking class, we talk too much. And that's our ego, you know, look at me, I'm going to have much I know sort of thing. Or if you're in a grading and people are watching around and we don't get out there and make sure someone sees our flash kicks and we're hitting someone or knocking them around because we're being watched and look how good I am. So it's all about pushing that ego down a little bit right through to when we bow, you know. Eko Hanchi say that brings us all down to the same level. We all bow down the same. So the depth of knowledge that he's instilled in seniors like the Soshians and I'm sure Eko Hanchi Renzi with his Shisekians and the other dojos around, we just so much depth of knowledge and I think the future's looking pretty rosy for us.
Yeah, that's one thing that is so remarkable, I think, with Sato, is the amount of experience that stays within the dojo, that it looks to get imparted. You've got all these people who are not just senpai, but all the sort of the Shodan, Nidan, Sandans, all the way through Kyoshi, Junshihans, such as yourself, and Seishans. All this is a huge amount of experience in terms of years, knowledge that's built up, that people don't get to a particular point and say, yep, that's me, tick the box, and on I move. There is, just like you said, a real sense of giving back, how things change from developing yourself to over time, understanding that it's actually about developing others.
Awesome. And I'd add my point, as Jian Chiam was saying, is when you're a senior and you're teaching, your inspiration comes from the students that you're teaching. They inspire us. They want us to go and continue our practice. They make us as teachers want to be better, better karateka, better teacher, because you're getting inspired watching their journey.
Us. Yeah.
I think things like the junior tournament, which we'll have this year as well, it's a fun day, but that's the future of our art right there, because it won't be us that around 20 or 30 years sort of thing, or maybe me, but that's exciting, I think, watching those and the young teenagers and how dynamic and they are.
Yeah, in terms of the challenges, someone's going to a tournament, there are challenges that come with that, a very different environment in many respects. So what sort of advice would you give your karateka who are, you know, thinking about registering or have registered for the upcoming children's tournament in August and the adults tournament in October?
I think pretty much what I do say to them is, you know, it's a massive celebration for the Top of the South, which we're all part of. Give it a go. It's a great way to teach yourself, make new friends, build lifelong relationships, you know, those special relationships. And if you're not going to compete, come and watch it, our style, and see the future in action, if you like. So the testing, I suppose, is a little bit part of that. But even so, you get in there, win or lose, you can put in your resume. I was in international tournament back in 2024 for Sato Karate, so that's great. I think being able to meet Nidami and attend a class with him will be very special. A lot of people haven't, you know, younger people haven't trained with Kaicho or Nidami, and I think that's a great way of learning his learning and the handing over of the mantle from Kaicho to him in time. Seishan and Aaron and myself had the opportunity to train with Kaicho on several occasions, and it's always very inspiring, those sort of meetings.
Can you tell us a bit more about that? So one of those occasions that you've had the opportunity to meet and train with Kaicho, where was that and what was that like?
I suppose we've trained with him a few times Hamilton, Wellington, Nelson, probably Go In, which was the fifth celebration in New York. Went over there with Ikahachi Andy and Sashian Aaron and a big team from the top of the South. And it was just great as far as the relationship build outside of the training and classes and things that we did there, but also through to a massive group training with Kite Cho and seeing his ability inspired me to say, well, I'm getting older, but I can still do it sort of thing. So yes. I think it's just those things you get out of it and just seeing how dynamic and inspirational he is.
Awesome. And I actually remember that, Jun Chan. I think you and I are sitting together for the final sort of show and we watched Kite Cho do his kata, and I remember both you and I sitting there going, wow, that's amazing.
Incredible.
Just so inspiring.
Awesome.
And I think around the connections around tournament, I mean, you and I, we've been in tournaments beside each other, we've competed against each other, and that's one of the reasons I feel is that we have, you and I, but also other students, have such a significant bond, because it doesn't matter who wins or loses, but you share that experience, and there's something for sharing those experiences when you're down in the trenches.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that whole respect piece comes out of it as well. You go over after it and congratulate each other, may have a talk, potentially catch up afterwards. But the next time you go to another tournament, you're there, you know the person, you reconnect, and that's the special times. And, you know, really looking forward to the 50-year celebration and seeing a lot of faces there, old and new.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic time. But, yeah, I heartily agree, Sashianos.
Yes.
And so you mentioned, you know, part of being in a tournament, and you traveled to a number of tournaments. In terms of, you know, when you traveled as a group, did you spar within the group then as well? So you were sparring against the likes of Akahanchi Andy, or you mentioned you did spar against Sashian Aaron. What's that experience like?
Well, that's never a good thing, Eric.
That's the correct answer, Junchan. No, tell us more.
It's a good learning opportunity, Eric, for me. It was it was a battle. It was hard. It was what we trained for, but yeah, I think it's an experience and it's always something you learn from. But like I said, you don't come out of there with any malice or anything like that if you win or you lose. And it's a little bit about the exchange, you know. We don't talk about fighting so much. It's more of an exchange. So we're learning. We've got some gaps in our armor. We need to plug them and things like that. So I think there's always an opportunity to learn from these things. And it's really important to go and, you know, as Akaji Renzi mentioned, we don't do a lot of tournaments. So it's really good to go and put yourself out there, because some have had the opportunity to train in a lot of dojos around the world. And the way Kite Cho's put the syllabus together, it's very obvious we're all at the same level, you know. Green belt's a green belt and all those things. So it's good to go along and actually understand that, hey, I'm actually okay. And, you know, I'm not the bottom of the heap or anything like that, but we're actually all have this ability to do our 100%, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Push yourself forward.
And that's it is such an opportunity to spar, because it can be a challenge, but you're doing it in a space where the person that you're sparring with, you're not fighting with. It's completely different. So the spar, it's like it's a dance. Yes, if there's a chink in your armor, yes, you'll find out, but in a way that allows you to go, right, that's right, I need to do something about that, and I grow from that. So that come the end of that sparring session, it's all about that shared respect. I've learned something, and I hope that you have as well. And it's supporting each other in that, and then moving on and sparring someone new and doing that all again.
And I think that you've broached on it before, Eric, Jun Chan, and I know that, you know, leading up to tournaments, if you're looking around the sparring, there's always a lot of training moving into the tournament together, sparring, hard sparring or point sparring. So as you move into the tournament, you're actually very prepared for what comes. Nothing out of the norm is going to happen. One's going to lose, one's going to win.
Yeah.
But you've both been training hard, so you're prepared. You're not going into it unprepared. So you feel comfortable around that. You feel like you've done everything you can to prepare, and the result will be what it is. And I think that's part of our training, is just to turn up every day, try and be better. And same with the tournament. Turn up, like Jun Chan says, experience the experience.
Yes.
When you lose, you're in there, and better than someone that didn't go in it and regretted it afterwards, you know.
Well, that's well said, Jun Chan. It's about being involved, and, you know, you get out what you put in. And if you're sitting on the sidelines, then that's your opportunity to learn from the sidelines. But the opportunity is so much greater when you're in the ring. and you take that opportunity, knowing that you're in a supportive environment.
And it can be a real change time for people. They get in there and absolutely love it, and their training, they just gets legs and away they go, sort of thing, after that, because they've experienced some of those encounters. And whether it be Carter or whether it be sparring, as Sashian said, you know, they've done the training. We're there to look after them. There's rules, and that's to protect them and their opponents as well. It's not two pit bulls going at it. It's some good controlled technique, yeah.
Now, Sado means sincere way, of course. So in terms of the learnings that you have in the dojo and the things that we learn in the dojo, how do you feel that that is easily reflected in what happens outside the dojo? Because I know that there is often quite a lot of emphasis on what you learn to take that out beyond the dojo. So can you just explore that a little further as well, please, Junxian?
Yeah, I think on a personal basis, I think for me, it gave me the courage to put my hand up for things, whether it be in my work environment, for a new job role, taking on a project or all those sort of things where sometimes you would just, people would stand back, you know, you had the courage to go forward and do that. I think I have a staff of over 100 that sort of rely on me to steer the ship a little, but I rely on all of them as well. So I deal with them in a really respectful way, and that I believe that they are contributing as much as I am, probably more some days, to the business. And I think that sort of thing, that respect, when you have a problem, don't start all the postmortems on that. Nice. Say, how can we fix it? Let's move forward, keeping calm. And I think that's what Sado Karate teaches us, that I don't need to lose my rag right now and do that. Let's just calm down and sort this out. And you see people change through the years, you know. When people first start sparring, they might be very sort of anxious, I suppose, or a little angry, but they just calm down. It's the training and the practice that they have, and it's the same with your life, you know. In an argument, we don't tend to have too many arguments now, sort of thing. So it's just about that respect, non-quitting spirit, and just happy to take on the world and everything it throws at you, and just in a calm and respectful way, really.
You sort of feel the same, Seishan, Eric?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think it just makes you settle more. And I think when we're teaching or putting people out, like you're talking about on Saturday with Carter by yourself, and putting yourself in those sort of pressure situations that you feel, end up feeling sort of comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Yes.
And I think that's the beauty of our Saturday practice. We do that in a safe way. And as Junxian said, we can feel a little bit uncomfortable in outside lives, but know that we can handle it okay.
Yes, yeah. That's, I think, a key learning, because, of course, at every stage when you progress through the belts, you know, you reach yellow belt, say, and you go, oh, yep, I'm good with everything up to there. And then you grade, and then all of a sudden you've got new kata to learn, you've got new techniques to learn, and you're back at square one, you know, back feeling uncomfortable. And that happens at every progression. And of course, that's not an accident, that is deliberate, because the learnings happen at the edges, you know, when you need to push yourself, need to become comfortable again by being uncomfortable.
Yeah, and that, I think they would probably call it a practice, because otherwise we'd learn it once and we're done, and we need to learn it over and over again and be competent in it, and then go back and actually learn all the stuff you've forgotten, because you tend to focus on the things at hand that you're trying to learn new. So, yeah, don't forget your basics. Ikahachi Yendi was very clear about that. I remember in one of his speeches, I think it was at Goen, he said, go home, learn your basics. That's the foundation you're going to build everything else on, and it's so true. Bad basics, or your form's bad, so you just need to really focus on that and reflect on it often.
That's so true, because everything is, like, for example, based around the stance and the position of, you know, your hands, and if you don't follow through in the stances properly, then all of a sudden it's not effective. It can go in reverse, you know. And so that's really important, just to keep polishing, just to keep working and working, because, you know, we're dynamic animals and we'll just keep changing, and we need to keep on polishing to make those katas and those techniques as good as they can.
Hmm. And potentially adapting, as you say, we're all different, and the way I do something might be slightly different. And, you know, we'll both get there at get to the same end, but you know, the ability to adapt and makes our style really, really special, I think. So that the opportunity is there for everybody, any walk of life, any ability, come in there and we can all get to the same end point, but someone's journey might be slightly different.
Yes, and I remember, John Chan, you'll remember too, is Aka Hunchy Andy's always to say, who is your original face? So meaning we have to keep scratching away at those layers to find out who we really are. And that could be layers of life powered on from our history that have and sort of been holding us back a little bit. The same with our training. We're sitting on the floor, we're going hard on the floor, but we're feeling a little anxious, a little nervous, but we keep getting pushed. And you're stripping those layers away to find out your pure self.
Us. So yeah, absolutely. That's yeah. Also, bang on the nail. I think. Yes. Who was your original face? What is your original face? That is again part of that whole polishing, part of that whole revisiting all the techniques time and time again, so that you don't take anything for granted. You're always just trying to find that kernel of what is the best in you.
Yes.
Now, if just as we come to a close with the interview, just if someone in the Blenheim region is listening and going, they'd like to find out a little bit more, how would they go about getting in touch with you and the dojo?
So we have a Facebook page and a website. So if anyone jumps on Google or whatever their search engine is and searches for Blenheim Sado Karate, that'll pop up. Sort of three classes on a Tuesday and two on a Thursday, and pretty accommodating if people can't make either one class or the other. And then John Chan, Brian and myself are both available, and our contact details are on those websites and things. So more than happy to have people come down and give it a go.
Absolutely. And it's the first step is always the hardest, but once you come into the door, you'll be warmly received.
Absolutely.
That's certainly been my experience, and can't recommend it enough. So thank you very, very much for your time today, Jun Shan Eric. It's been an absolute privilege.
Thank you.
And also, Seishan Aaron, thank you very much again for being part of this interview.
Thank you. Jun Shan, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Seishan. And we'll see you all.
We'll see you soon.
We'll see you at the tournament.
See you on the floor.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
If you're interested in finding out more about Sado Karate, then you can check us out on Facebook. With dojos throughout the region, there's bound to be one near you. See you next time at the Sado Karate On Air Dojo. Us.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.